We love the underdog stories. This is really loud. Could you just turn it down just a little? Why do we love the underdog stories? Well, I think we love them because the weaker, the smaller, the person that's weaker and smaller, or the team, they actually take courage and press in to do the unthinkable. And then a miracle happens, right? A miracle happens. They conquer their fear. They conquer their adversary. We're going to be looking at Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. And we are continuing in the David series. And last week we heard about David needed something. What was that? Remember? He needed something more. Do you guys remember? The Holy Spirit. He needed the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to see a story where David was the underdog and he needed something more. And continuing on through his whole life, he needed something to help him. He couldn't do it on his own. And so he was the underdog. Nobody actually noticed David at first. He wasn't picked. He was the runt. And as we saw in the video, there was this standoff between the Israelites and the Philistines. And as you saw, no battle had been fought yet. The Philistines drew their troops. The Israelites put their troops in a battle-ready formation. And so the Philistines were on this side and the Israelites were on this side, and there was this big valley between them. And for 40 days, they had this giant named Goliath come out and taunt them, the Israelites, for 40 days. No battle. The Israelites were just there, afraid. Now, this giant was nearly 10 feet tall. He was 9 feet 9 inches. Can you just, for a moment, just try and imagine that? I would have Tyler come up here, but I'm not going to do that because I don't have any little short kid to compare at this moment. But 9 feet, 9 inches, we're talking, this is 8 feet that I'm touching. It's a foot and 9 inches more. And this guy was very big. And in verse 5 of 1 Samuel, it says he wore a bronze helmet. His bronze coat was male weighted down 125 pounds, just his armor on his chest, on his shoulders. And he wore bronze armor on his legs. He carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, like a stake from a fence stake, but it was heavy, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. Just the spearhead was 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him and carried his shield. The shield was probably a man size, and we know that Jewish men are shorter than others, and so in those days the average age was height was 5 feet, and so we're talking a 5 foot person, an adult 5 foot person, and a 9 foot 9 inch person. In fact, David probably wasn't full grown yet, and so Goliath stood there. And he called out to the Israelite army, and he says, in so many words, he says this: why bother us? Why bother using your whole army? I'm not the Philistine. Am I not a Philistine enough for you? And you are all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me. And if he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and kill him, you will all become our slaves and serve us. I challenge you. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man. Let us fight it out together. And so Saul, who's king, was one of a, he was tall in stature, he was good looking, he was a big guy, and he was afraid. Saul, he was terrified as much as the Israelites were terrified, and they had lost hope, this army. And in the passage, you'll see, it says, Now David steps into the story. And he was, as you know the story, I'm sure you know the story. You could come up here and tell us the story. But every time we look at God's Word, we want to look for things that we've never seen before. And I hope today that you'll see the story and you'll see something new. And you'll see something that God wants to tell you that is specific for you to grow and learn through. And so one of the things that we know is that David was the youngest son of Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons. And Jesse was too old to fight in the army. And so he sent his oldest 3 sons to fight in this non-battle, right? This battle that had not happened, but to be in the army. And the firstborn's name was Eliab. And Eliab was a typical oldest brother. He would look down on the youngest. I would know how this feels because I'm the youngest. But beside the point that this oldest son was there and David was the youngest, and you'll see in a minute what happens between the two of them. And so David was at that point, he was part of the story in that he was helping Saul soothe his mind because he was tormented by some thoughts and some evil spirits, and he was needing somebody to sing and worship. And David would go between helping Saul by playing music to being a shepherd for his family. And so he would go back and forth between the two. And so Saul knew David to some extent. And so for 40 days, every morning, this giant, tormented, taunted, and he would come out and we'd stand morning and evening, and he would tell the Israelites that they were weak and they couldn't fight him, and he challenged them. And so one day, Jesse told his son, his youngest son David, take this sack of bread wheat and take these 10 loaves of bread and run them down to your brothers in the camp. And take these 10 wedges of cheese to the captain of their division and check on your brothers and see how they're doing. And come and tell me how they're doing. And so David was obedient. He understood authority. He listened to his father. He said, he got up at the crack of dawn and he arranged for someone to tend for his flock, and he took the food and he was on his way. Verse 22 says, David did exactly what his father told him to do. And so that gets me to the first point this morning. He showed up. Showing up matters. He showed up. Verse 22, he chose to be obedient. He did what his father said, and he went and took the food to the battle, and he showed up. So as he's arriving at the camp, just as the army was moving into battle formation and shouting the war cry, David hears this sound. And so he drops off the food and he runs to the front lines of the battle. And he was curious to see what was going on, and he greeted his brothers, and while he's talking, David's talking, this Philistine champion, Goliath of Gath, steps out from the front lines of the Philistines and gave his usual challenge. And David heard him. The Israelites, of course, were totally frightened and they stepped back. And in fact, some of them went into hiding. I don't know what they hid under, maybe a rock or a tree, or they hid behind another soldier, but they were in hiding and they were scared and they were frightened. And the men were talking to each other about, have you ever seen anything like this man, this Goliath? As he was challenging them. Every one of us has giants in our lives. They may not be 9 foot 9 inches. They may not be named Goliath, or they may not be from, they may not roam the valley of Elah. But my guess is that sometimes in your life, And sometimes in my life, we get afraid of our giants. And we allow our giants to intimidate us. We allow the giants in our lives to taunt us. And we go into hiding mode or retreat mode. And so as I'm talking this morning, I want you to be thinking about, what are some giants that you're facing in your life? This isn't for me to stand up here and just talk and hear my voice. This is for you. This is God's Word, and He wants to speak to you about these giants that you face. Before we remodeled our basement, we didn't have a staircase that went from the top floor to the bottom floor, and Ben and Eric and Mike and some others, I don't know, maybe somebody else in here, helped build that staircase. But before that happened, we had this bright idea that we'd go down and remodel. We thought we'd just do a 6-month little project and we'd take the paneling, the 1970s paneling off the walls, and put sheetrock and just a little bit of paint and make it into a room. But as we were taking the paneling off, what we discovered was a huge problem. And we found millions upon millions of ants living together in communities. We're talking big communities, and they weren't just living on top of the wood. They were living inside of the wood. They had made their home for over a decade. And so, as we were trying to figure out what to do, I found boric acid. If you know what that is, it's a powder, and it kills cockroaches and ants. And you can't find it very often. But I had some. And so I got this can and I thought, I'll just sprinkle it, when I lost my grip and it just went poof. And I ran out the door because I didn't want to breathe it in. And so I came back and there were ants dead everywhere. And these ants, they would just bore into this wood and they'd live and they'd destroy. And if we would have left that problem, if we would have just walked away and closed the door, that house would have collapsed over maybe 2-3 years later. And so the point of that story is, here's a pun, giants. Okay. We can't leave the giants in our lives to just take over territory in our lives. We can't. We have to face our giants. We have to face the problems, the issues, the things that taunt us in our lives. And you know what those are. You're thinking about them right now, perhaps. And so when it comes to our lives, we have giants, but they may all look different. Some of us have giants in our lives that have to do with struggles in our marriage. Some of us have giants in our lives that have to do with struggles of lust. And some of us have giants in our lives that are struggles of finances. We don't know what to do. Or maybe some of you have struggles in your life that are to do with your identity and your worth. And perhaps some of you wake up in the morning and you struggle with the bombardment of lies. And they're either lies of yourself or lies of others and or both. And so we've believed these lies so long that they sound true. And so I want to encourage you, what we're going to look at this more and more today, as this giant stands there taunting, as the title for today's sermon is Giants Will Fall, and God wants to be the deliverer of your giant, but you have to be participant in that. You have to participate in killing the giant. Whatever that giant is that you allow in your life that is taunting you. We all know that we have a thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. John 10:10 tells us this, that Jesus came to give us life. The enemy, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is the main Goliath in all of our lives. And so Peter tells us, he also tells us these other verses that you can remind yourself of is 1 Peter 5:8. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Those little lies that you've allowed to listen to in your life, those little lies that you've told yourself, those things that you've struggled with, that you've allowed to fester in your life, they become big. They become Goliaths. And you cannot conquer them without God's strength. And so the first of three is show up. G.I. Joe says, you know, knowing is half the battle. I would say showing up is half the battle. And then the other parts are maybe a third and a third. I don't know, but that doesn't, 25% maybe. Number two, stand up. Verse 32 and 33. In 1 Samuel 17, let's look at that real quick. It says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. It's pretty bold. I'll go fight him. Verse 33, don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. Stand up against your enemy with confidence and boldness. In Joshua 1:9, Joshua is telling his people what God wants to tell them, and that is to be strong and courageous. He says, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, if God is bigger than the boogeyman, he's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. If you're a VeggieTales lover, that's the song, how it goes. He is bigger than Goliath in your life. So be strong and courageous. David, who continues as the story continues, David, he was talking to the men standing around him, and he's asking questions. What's in it for the man who kills the Philistine and gets rid of this taunting man and this person that's dishonoring not only God's army, but God himself? What happens to the man who kills him? Well, they tell him, they say, well, you get a huge reward. You get the king's daughter in marriage, and you get a tax-free write-off, right? And your whole family. It's a great benefit. And so David, this is his personality. This is his, he's burning anger inside. He says, who does he think he is anyway? He's talking about Goliath. He's like, who does he think he is anyway? I don't know if you've ever had those conversations about somebody or a problem in your life, and you're like, who does that person think they are? And yet, would you step up and challenge that person, or would you just say that behind their backs? I'm not saying you should go do that. I'm just saying David was bold, and he wanted to face this giant, and he was challenging him in word, and then he steps into his words and does what he needs to do in this situation. Well, if you see, Eliab steps in, the older brother, right? He steps in and says things like, you're just here to see, just to see the battle. You need to go back to your little flock of sheep. And you have an evil heart. And he just basically makes all these assumptions, right? So everyone told David that he couldn't do it. His brother told them that he was not enough. Goliath laughed at him. Saul told him he was too young, too small, and with little experience. His older brother told him he had evil motives and was unimportant. His dad forgot where he was. Or even he forgot about him being his son. He was like, oh yeah, I have another son out in the field. And so Samuel came and was ready to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and Jesse forgot about him. And remember, if you remember back in chapter 16, Samuel came to Jesse and asked for those sons, and he kept going down the line and saying, okay, Lord, is it this one? Is it this one? Is it this one? And God continued to tell him, no, that's not the right one for the next king. And if you look at 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by Saul's appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them, Samuel. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So despite what other people say about him, David chose to ignore the lies and believe the truth about what God said about him. So here's one of our challenges. Believe the lies that either people say about you, or you yourself say about you, or the devil says about you, and believe the truth, what God says about you. David loved God. David trusted God, and that is why he could stand up with confidence, but also he stands up and then speaks up about God's victories in his life. So he shows up, he stands up, and then he speaks up. David says, I've been a shepherd, tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it. I'd knock it down. I'd rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine who is taunting the troops of God. And so God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. David knew what God had done in his life before. He had remembered the victories, he had remembered the successes, and he had continued in faith, believing that God would continue doing the same thing in the future. And so Saul gives David he says, may the Lord be with you as he goes, right? But think about this for a minute. This is just a thought, side note. Saul didn't have anything against David at this moment, right? So whoever wins the battle, the Israelites would have to give in, right? And be the slaves. And I'm not sure what Saul was thinking when he said, "May the Lord be with you." Maybe he was saying, "I really hope that God is with you." Or maybe he had a glimpse of faith. "May the Lord be with you as you go." And so David takes his shepherd's staff. He selects a few stones, like this size maybe, or this size. And he gets a slingshot, not the slingshot where you pull back, but the slingshot where you have a piece of leather and you have two leather straps, and you put the rock in there and you swing it around like this and you let it go. Five stones, and the first one he kills Goliath with. And David, he took his staff, he took his stones, and he went and stepped out and spoke up. As the Philistine paced back and forth, he had his shield bearer in front of him. He noticed David and he laughed. And I'm guessing the whole army laughed, because David was just a young man and all he had was some stones and a slingshot. And so what does the Philistine say? What does Goliath say? He says, "Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick?" And he cursed him by his gods. And he challenged David, "Come on, I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into tasty morsel for field mice." But David was not intimidated. He showed up. He stood up. And he spoke up. And this is what he says. "You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of God Almighty of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you. Cut off your head and serve your body and the bodies of the Philistines to the crows and the coyotes." That's a pretty bold statement. But David was not trusting in his slingshot or his rocks. What was he trusting in? He was trusting in the Lord. The Lord will deliver today. The whole earth will know that there is an extraordinary God in Israel. Everyone gathered to learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear, but he saves. The battle belongs to God. And so he is handing Goliath to them on a platter. This perspective will be a hallmark moment in David's life, a pivotal moment in his life. He will look back at this moment where God delivered him from Goliath, and he will use that as a victory he will remember the rest of his life. So how about you? What perspective do you have in regards to your giants in your life? Are you facing the giant on your own, basically? Are you walking into the valley without God? Well, then your giant is very big. Maybe you've been treated poorly. Maybe you have been gripped with fear. Maybe you have had extreme discouragement. Maybe you've been held down by shame, and maybe you've been believing the lies that come at you like darts. Some of us are letting the devil taunt us and beat us up. And it's not what others say, but it's more about what you've said to yourself, what you have allowed your thinking. You've believed things like you're unworthy or unqualified. Maybe you have those thoughts in your head that you don't know what you're doing in your job, or you're not a good enough leader or a good enough parent. These are all lies. But the mistake we fall into is we remember what we should forget, and we forget what we should remember. Right? We're always thinking about our mistakes and failures and our sins, and we're not good enough, and we believe the enemy, when we really should be believing what God's Word says, and that is that our sins are as far as the east is from the west, that God has forgotten them, that we are a child of God, that Scripture says that He is with us no matter what. He will neither leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with us no matter where we go. And we do not need to fight our battles alone. And so, remember God's victories in your life. Where has He brought you? What has He successfully conquered in your life? He will conquer whatever giant you're facing today. Remember God's successes in your life. You're still breathing. Satan isn't going to win. We kind of say that in a present tense, like Satan seems to be winning, right? No, Satan is not going to win. So don't let him. Don't let the giant take territory in your life. Get up, move towards the giants in your life. Remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. And it doesn't belong to you. You're just part of it. And your part is to trust in His power as David did. Trust in God's power as David did. God specializes in hopeless situations. In our weakness, He is strong. 2 Corinthians 12 tells us. Paul knew this. He said this. God said this to him, and he told us this. He says, God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." In our weakness. So David shows up. That's pretty easy to do, right? Just to show up. But the next step is a little bit harder, to stand up. And then the next one, God gives us the words and the strength to speak up, to speak against our enemy, the enemy of our soul, Satan, to speak up against the lies that we believe, to speak up against the difficulties by believing God's truth. Well, this, what David said, made Goliath mad. And you may make your Goliath angry or mad. But God is the one that has the battle in His hands. And so as Goliath was angry, David reached for the rock and he put it in his sling and he threw it, and it hit Goliath in the forehead, and Goliath fell immediately down to the ground. He wasn't dead at first. He wasn't dead. David then took the enemy's sword and killed his enemy with the sword. So David is the underdog. And he beat the Philistine with God, with just a sling and a stone, and God's power and God's deliverance. And so Goliath endures as a symbol of the giants we face daily. God will help us confront our Goliath, and with God's strength we can slay them as well. And so David had tremendous faith in the Almighty God. Now you might have struggled this week with your giant, with your faith, but be like David. Your faith will look like this. Show up. Stand up. Speak up. And then see God's deliverance. He will conquer whatever giants that you're facing today. And in fact, just remember this. Your giants don't stand a chance in the face of the holy, living God, who is bigger and greater than anybody. Matthew 19:26. I'll end with this. With man, This is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So let's pray. I'm gonna just do the benediction after I pray. Does that work? Okay. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that we can read and we can hear your voice, and we can even conquer the things in our lives with your strength. Lord, help us to remember that you have brought us this far. You have conquered many things in our lives. And Lord, whatever struggles we have this week, the giants that we are facing, Father, would you give us your strength? Would you conquer these giants? May we have hope in the victories that you plan to solve in our lives, to bring in our lives. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand for the benediction? Psalms 27, 1 through 3. David wrote many of the Psalms, and I don't doubt that he wrote this one. He says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. The giant will fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident." So may you be confident in the Lord today, that he will deliver you from whatever giant you face. You just have to have faith. Just step into it and believe. Trust him. In Jesus' name.